Is there anything you've learned from the experiences that both your parents have gone through?
Mm-hmm. But nothing I should talk about on camera, I think.
Ah, the politician already. Mm. No.
Never, never.
Never.
Never. I'm going to be a teacher.
I don't like politics. I don't like the personal cost. Having a family for me, having kids, you know, is one of the absolute priorities and will be the center of my...
Some of those recommendations included things that the government could change now. For instance, the differential age of consent when it comes to anal sex versus vaginal sex.
Yeah.
Is that something that the government...
Yeah, that's something that we're very much looking forward to moving on in short order.
I thought that was all built in already. Really was an amazing feeling. It hits you.
This country is a country of openness, of respect, of compassion, of the rule of law.
Admiration I actually have for China. Because their basic dictatorship is allowing them...
Regardless of the fact that we are attacking your fundamental rights, or limiting your fundamental rights, and the Charter says that's wrong, we're still going to go ahead and do it. It's basically a loophole that allows a majority to override fundamental rights of a minority.
We're all very worried about family and friends. I know that's the reality for many of you. Let me remind you, Canada will always be there to defend the right of peaceful protest. We believe in the importance of dialogue, and that's why...
Individuals are trying to blockade our economy, our democracy, and our fellow citizens' daily lives. It has to stop.
The federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act.
We're still going to go ahead and do with it. It's basically a loophole.
The Emergencies Act to supplement provincial and territorial capacity to address the blockades and occupations.
Prime Minister, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, friends. As you know, the theme of this annual meeting is Mastering the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I couldn't imagine anybody who could represent more the world which will come out of this Fourth Industrial Revolution. It certainly will be a world, hopefully, not certainly, hopefully, if we take the right decisions, which will be a diverse world, characterized by plurality. It will be a world which will combine significant investments into the future, into our soft and hard infrastructure, with fostering entrepreneurial activity, at the same time social responsibility. It will be a young world. It will be a digital world. Now, who could represent such a world better than you, Prime Minister? We are very glad that at the beginning of this meeting, you are talking to us to represent also a new, open Canada. I want to use this opportunity also to thank our Canadian constituency, which always has been a very loyal and very much engaged constituency here at the Forum. But now, I think with you, together with our constituents, Prime Minister, we can make sure that in the future, we strengthen the cooperation even more with your country. Prime Minister, we are very much looking forward to listen to you, and actually the discussion will be moderated by my friend Farid. So we will have some exciting, interesting moments. Thank you.
You are not working for Canada. You are working for your globalist partners. I wonder how much they're paying you to betray Canada. What do we do with traitors in Canada, Mr. Trudeau? We used to hang them for treason. And you're doing that very same thing to us now.
I want to make something very clear. The illegal blockades seeking to take our neighborhoods and our economy hostage, and the collective COVID fatigue we are facing, are two very separate things. If you joined the protests because you're tired of COVID, you now need to understand that you are breaking laws.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law. The
consequences are becoming more and more severe. You don't want to end up losing your license, end up with a criminal record, which will impact your job, your livelihood, even your ability to travel internationally, including to the US. We've heard your frustration with COVID, with the measures that are there to keep people safe. We've heard you. It's time to go home now.
Breaking the law! Breaking the law! Breaking the law!
That was cool.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. Time to play the game.
regardless of the fact that we are attacking your fundamental rights or limiting your fundamental rights, and the Charter says wrong, we're still going to go ahead and do it. It's basically a loophole that allows a majority to override fundamental rights of a minority.
President Trump has repeatedly suggested, without evidence, that Joe Biden used his VP position to pressure Ukraine to fire the country's top prosecutor, Viktor Shokin. All right, who's Viktor?
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction.
CBS News, that Putin's ambitions may extend beyond Ukraine.
Ukraine? Well, because the president's son was paid $1 million a year by Ukraine, and they have a massive lobbying effort in Washington. No, but that's not the reason. There's another much deeper foundational reason.
Economic resilience. Today, we're announcing that Canada will offer a loan of up to $500 million to the government of Ukraine. To thank Deputy Prime Minister Freeland for her leadership on this file, and underline that this is in addition to the $120 million loan offered earlier in January.
Ukraine's foreign minister has called for urgent talks with Russia as it continues its military buildup on the borders. He stressed Moscow should respond in accordance with the Vienna document. That is an agreement on confidence and security building measures between European countries. It dates back to 1990 and it includes Russia.
So it's worth looking into, like, what exactly is Ukraine like? What's its government like? Well, it turns out it's not a democracy. It's run by a dictator who's friends with everyone in Washington. It doesn't make him less of a dictator. How do you know he's a dictator? Because the main opposition figure is now under arrest, and the opposition media, the TV stations, have been shut down by the government. That's not how a democracy operates. That's how a dictatorship operates. And it should make you very nervous that Joe Biden, Susan Rice, and the National Security Advisor kid, they're all telling us with a straight face, Liz Cheney too, it's a democracy. Just too awesome.
We want you to produce.
You want me to produce your war?
Not a war. It's a pageant.
We need a theme, a song, some visuals. We need, you know, it's a pageant.
How would you like an ambassadorship?
That's my pay on. Hell, I just do it for a story to tell.
Oh, no, you couldn't tell anybody.
Listen, I'm just kidding.
No, Lord, you couldn't tell anybody.
No, it's just it's a pageant.
It's a pageant. That's what it is.
Wag the dog.
Solution? It may not be fall. It may be the wise choice. But it's his decision.
And do you have any indication about whether President Putin has made a decision on whether to invade? Do you feel confident that he hasn't made that decision already?
As of this moment, I'm convinced he's made the decision. We have reason to believe that.
Time to change has come and gone. What's your fears become your God? It's your decision.
All Kyiv needs to do is to negotiate with Donetsk and Luhansk and to take fundamental measures to bring the conflict to a conclusion. So far, we've only seen an escalation.
As of this moment, I'm convinced he's made the decision. We have reason to believe that.
U.S. President, as you saw, they're speaking live from the White House tonight. As the U.S. officials say, 190,000 troops are on the border of Ukraine. Significant news then from the U.S. President. He believes that President Putin has made a decision to invade Ukraine. He believes also that the capital, where I am now, Kyiv, will be targeted, a city of some 2.8 million people. Let's go live then to the White House. Our U.S. correspondent, Martha.
That the Russian government is responsible for wide-scale cyber attacks on Ukrainian banks this week. We have technical information that links the Russian Main Intelligence Directorate, or GRU, as known GRU infrastructure, was seen transmitting high volumes of communication to Ukraine-based IP addresses and domains. We've shared the underlying intelligence with Ukraine and with our European partners.
And I didn't realize he was on the board till after he'd been on the board. Economic support for Ukraine. And earlier this week, we also announced an additional sovereign loan guarantee of up to $1 billion to strengthen Ukraine's economic resilience. But the bottom...
I did not need to be a Jew to be a Zionist. For I am.
Fuck you. I hate you.
Look, there is no federal solution.
The United States is fucking lying!
Just a rat in a cage.
despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage. Tell me I'm the only one. Tell me there's no other one. Jesus was an only son for you.
There's some video cameras that the police are using, and some news outlets are reporting that you're gathering intelligence with those cameras. Can you elaborate, like, if the protesters at this point, retreat and go home, are they going to be getting sort of repercussions down the road, or are you going to be sort of actively pursuing the people that you've been sort of documenting and filming who are still out there protesting? What are your plans after this, after the protest is over?
Thank you. It's a great question. And the simple answer is yes.
All the tools that we had prior to the invocation of the Emergencies Act, and we determined that we needed some additional tools. Now, some of those tools, we will be putting forward measures to put those tools permanently in place.
Questions, commentary, questions and comments. The Honourable Member for Oshawa.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I listened to my colleague's speech. I had a constituent that wanted me to ask a question about outside interference to our democracy. Klaus Schwab is the head of the World Economic Forum, and he bragged how his subversive WEF, World Economic Forum, has, quoted, infiltrated governments around the world. He said that his organization had penetrated more than half of Canada's cabinet. And I was wondering, in the interest of transparency...
What we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, so that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I... know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of
the. So back to the psychological operations. It's also embedding people in government who are subscribed to this agenda. Yeah? And the agenda of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum is the same as the agenda of Tony Blair in this regard. They call it, on their own website, they call it the Great Reset. That's what they say themselves.
Yeah, that's a bizarre thing to do, to openly... Why do you think they openly discuss it that way? And openly... Because the Great Reset has always been this gigantic conspiracy theory among the online folks. Yeah. Like, this is all part of the Great Reset. Well, when he wrote a fucking book called The Great Reset, you're like, hey, man, shouldn't you be hiding this?
And in 2017 at Harvard, he's saying, you know, we're going to basically... all of these world leaders will penetrate their cabinets with our young global leaders. He's open. He's open. Blair's open. During the Iraq War, Blair tried to bring in ID cards in Britain. He failed. Now he's back. And he's trying to bring in digital ID during COVID. Right? So they're open about it.
So this is going to be this never-ending process to slowly move the goalposts.
Towards more and more authoritarianism. Checkpoints aside. It's all there. They told us this.
People have to realize this, right? This is important.
Yeah.
Could the member please name which cabinet ministers are on board with the WEF's agenda? My concern is the deputy.
Order. I know the member was in a really good question there, but the audio is really, really bad, and the video is really, really bad as well. And I apologize. I don't know if the member. Okay, let's try again. The honorable member for Timmins James Bay.
Mr. Speaker, that member was promoting open disinformation. That's not debate. We have to call up disinformation.
We'll get into.
I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet, are actually young noble leaders of the world.
That member was promoting open disinformation. That's not debate. To the flame,
and what do I get? You dumb motherfucker. Do you know what you did? You just proved my point.
I want to make sure people understand that what's happening in Canada is extraordinary. These are the nicest, most peace-loving folks in the world. This is hardcore working-class folks. And the symbolism, the dichotomy, to have the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which has this kind of iconic symbolism here in the United States of America, of just these stand-up men and women of the Mounties, to have them on the horses beating with batons, particularly disabled people. And Castro Trudeau has to understand that those images are never, they're now seared in people's minds.
I seen a video online, so I thought I'd come checking out for myself, and here we go. The United Nations plane right here in North Bay. I wonder where all those cops in Ottawa came from. And there's no snow on it, it just snowed last night.
Just compared people who may have donated to this to the same people who are funding maybe a terrorist. I just want to be clear here, sir. This is really important. A lot of folks says, look, I just don't like your vaccine mandates and I donated to this. Now it's illegal. Should I be worried that the bank can freeze my account? What's your answer to that?
Well, I think if you are a member of a pro-Trump movement who's donating hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to this kind of thing, then you ought to be worried.
These people are sick.
That and they've been put on notice. If you fuck around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before.